Hey guys, how's it going? Raji and Rocco here once again. Today, we are gonna dive into something that we have been meaning to do for a very long time. There was an email that was leaked back in October. I believe it was October 10th, right?
2020, yeah.
Yeah, 2020. And this email came out as a leaked email.
Very briefly, it was purportedly from a whistleblower who was privy to a governmental meeting, including the Prime Minister's office, with respect to future COVID measures. Mm-hmm. And it was leaked. Many people said, is this fake news? Is it fake news? Ezra Levant did a whole piece saying, this is very sad and sorry, but it's fake news. Now is he eating his crow or what? Without condiments. So we're going to go through what that leaked email said at the time, and my feeling was this: because it went viral within 24 hours, which only the government could really affect that kind of viral effect, it was a way of the government to put it out in a way that could be denied as fake news, but to see what the reaction of us Canadians would be to it as a possible future agenda for the next year. Well, as Canadians, we're a bunch of chihuahuas and sheep, so we said nothing. Now, it's been almost 8 months since that memo. Let's reread the memo said.
And right? It's also very plausible that it could have also been a concerned person who was this, if this meeting actually like really happened, and made the email.
It's possible.
Okay, let's go for it. Let's start. You want to start?
All right. Well, in a nutshell, it says, quote, the roadmap and aim was set out by the PMO and is as follows. Phase in secondary lockdown restrictions on a rolling basis, starting with major metropolitan areas first and expanding outward, expected by November 2020. Well, that actually happened November 23rd, 2020.
Yeah.
Next. Rush
the acquisition of the isolation facilities across every province and territory, expected by December 2020.
That happened too.
Quarantine
hotels.
And we saw those facilities that were coming up as well.
Next, daily new cases of COVID-19 will surge beyond capacity of testing, including increases in COVID-related deaths following the same growth curves, expected by the end of November 2020. Well, that happened too. We've spent over $2 billion in testing in Ontario alone.
Complete and total secondary lockdown, much stricter than the first and second rolling phases restrictions, expected by end of December 2020, early January 2021.
That happened as well.
Yeah, Quebec was in curfew, and all the businesses, essentials, non-essentials.
Yeah, we saw a lockstep of lockdowns being ratcheted up. The next item: reform and expansion of the unemployment program to be transitioned into the universal basic income program, expected by first quarter 2021. Well, that happened. If you recall, they expanded the program. It was much easier to qualify for employment insurance. Part-timers got it, and it was very much expanded, CERB and all of that. And by the way, the universal income program is in second reading. It got put under the radar through a, quote, private members bill. It's not a private members bill. It's an elected Liberal MP, and that's now in second reading. What the bill proposes to do is put in a universal income and eliminate the Canada Pension Plan program, which is a contributory program, which for the last 5 months, through its board of directors, has been shipped to China. So that's on the rails and moving along very well, thank you.
Projected COVID-19 mutation and or co-infection with secondary virus, leading to a third wave, much higher mortality rate and higher rate of infection, expected by February 2021.
Well, what happened in February 2021? The famous English predicted
variants.
Now we're into variants. Well, I got news for you. Every single novel flu virus usually will engender over 4,000 variants. So that was scripted, and that happened. The next one, daily new cases of COVID-21 hospitalizations, of COVID-19 and COVID-21 related deaths will exceed medical care facility capacity expected first and second quarter of 2021. Not that I believe any of the bullshit, but that's what you're living through right now.
Enhanced lockdown restrictions, referred to as third lockdown, will be implemented. Full travel restrictions will be imposed, including inter-province and intercity, expected Q2 2021.
Well, that just happened here in Ontario, April 17th. Yeah. You can't move here. You can't. They established non-existing juridical borders. It just happened. It was just announced in British Columbia today. By Friday, an order is coming in that you can't travel outside of your medical district. What kind of metric ton of horseshit is that? What does that mean? Your medical district. Now the virus knows where you live in terms of your medical district, mm-hmm. and what monkey is designated the chief medical officer in your medical district. I mean, this is how much they love to, as I said before, urinate and defecate in your face and the Constitution. The measures they impose are not even logical within their own pretzeled, insane, made-up BS.
Transitioning of individuals into universal basic income program expected mid-Q2 2021.
As I said, that's happened. The legislation's already been introduced to probably get
passed.
You said
passed. Second reading?
The last time I checked, I have to update it.
But
There's three readings, and then it gets proclaimed into force by the Governor General.
So do you think that all unemployment insurance and all that stuff is just going to get rolled into...
Yeah, everything will get rolled into that. What the bill says is that the Minister of Finance has no more than 2 years to table concrete plans on how the new system will work. And then after that, no more than 2 years, they'll implement it. But that's a goalpost. They can implement it in 4 months instead of 4 years. So once this legislation passes, they have the statutory vehicle to affect that.
Okay. We're going to come back to UBI because we're going to talk about why is it... a little bit dangerous to buy into it because, like a lot of people, I thought it was a good thing, you know, but maybe not so much. Projected supply chain breakdowns, inventory shortages, large economic instability expected late Q2 2021. Well, farmers.
Well, that's going to happen here. Just remember that for the rest of the developing world, that's been happening since the early days of the COVID.
Yep.
So that's coming here. We represent farmers whose 2021 domestic farm crop is in danger because when Trudeau put a travel ban to Mexico and the Caribbean, no bright mainstream reporter asked the simple question, why can we fly to Florida and Panama? They're not right next door. The reason for that is 98% of all farm workers every year in Canada come up from Mexico and the Caribbean. They're making it almost next to impossible for farmers to bring them up.
Mm-hmm. And the Suez Canal crisis that was happening that definitely disrupted supply chains.
Then the next one is deployment of military personnel into major metropolitan areas as well as major roadways to establish travel checkpoints, restrict travel and movement, provide logistical support to the area expected by the third quarter of 2021. Well, you know, given the vicious reaction to Doug Ford's announcement of random patrols and checkpoints, which I still am not decided whether the uniformity of the police chiefs saying we will not enforce that was sincere or part of the plan. Here's the plan. If the police won't enforce these random stops and checks, well, that gives the feds the excuse, and they've already talked about it a few days ago, of bringing in the Emergencies Act nationally, and that's when you get your soldiers on the street.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more than likely that this may be implemented. I'm finding it a bit suspicious
that
every police force in Ontario, every police chief, instantly said we will not apply the law.
Unless Doug knew that the chiefs would for sure say this. He knew that they wouldn't turn around. I spoke with Len Fowle, actually, this morning. I got him to weigh in, and he said that he most likely, you know, chiefs wouldn't go for it. Doug knew this. They knew that they could turn around and say, well, now we can bring in the military. But why get the police out of the way, though?
No, I think Doug knew this because it was likely pre-planned with the police chiefs with Doug, okay?
Why?
What are the probabilities that 40 police chiefs across the province unanimously, overnight, come up with the same answer? You think that's plausible?
It didn't happen right away, though.
It's only been 4 days.
Well, 39 forces said, no, we're not doing this. And then the other ones...
When have you ever seen that? The police saying we're not enforcing the law.
I mean, these are unprecedented times.
Oh, please. You guys are all dreaming in color, okay? I'm not a pessimist. I'm just an optimist with too much frigging experience. These things don't happen randomly.
Nothing is.
You cannot get 40 people to unanimously, without pre-deliberation, come down to the same decision. It just does not happen.
Okay, so you're saying they wanted the police to turn around and say, we're not doing it, just so they can get the military in.
So Trudeau can bring in martial law. Right. Otherwise, he cannot, under the Emergencies Act, bring in martial law unless the province cannot handle the situation. Doug Ford can now say, my police chiefs don't want to apply the law, so I can't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the likelihood is that they decided not to handle it.
Mm-hmm. And what about the playgrounds? Why do you think he reversed then his stance on the playgrounds?
I have no idea. But did he really? I walk by Hyde Park every day. And every entrance to the biggest park in Toronto is blocked. Only pedestrians can go in, but they have a big sign saying, you have no access to the cherry blossoms. We will bring you the cherry blossoms through your internet. So
it does not say that.
It does say that. I'll take a picture of it.
Are you serious?
What is that? That is fascist, Fourth Reich goose-stepping. You can't go to the cherry blossoms?
We're going to bring it to you by the internet.
We'll send it to you by virtual email. Listen, and what about this? People who are hard of walking, who usually drive into Hyde Park, park the car close to where they want to sit, can't do it. They don't care about people with disabilities. Why would you block off the biggest park in the city of Toronto? So has he backed off? No.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Should we keep going? Okay. All right. So then the email goes on to say, along with that provided roadmap and strategic planning committee, the strategic planning committee was asked to design an effective way of transitioning Canadians to meet the unprecedented economic endeavor, one that would change the face of Canada forever and alter the lives of Canadians. What we were told was that in order to offset what was essentially an economic collapse of the international scale, that the federal government was going to offer Canadians to a total debt relief. This is how it's going to work. The federal government will offer to eliminate all personal debts, mortgages, loans, credit cards, etc., which all funding will be provided to Canada by the IMF under what will be known as the World Debt Reset Program. Is that AKA the Great Reset?
Yeah, the Great 2030 Reset, and the IMF, as everybody knows, is the International Monetary Fund that enslaves the developing countries through debt. So now we're Canada is going to be like, they plan, whether they get away with this or not, is going to be one of them. And what most people don't understand, when you get a loan or mortgage, although you have a certain payment contract, if you read the fine print that requires a telescope or a microscope to read, they can call it in any time. They can say you got to pay it all up now.
Yeah.
And so that's very easy to affect. If they call in the debt, then you owe it now. And the federal government can bail out those debts, as it did in 2008 bank crash. The federal government bailed out $166 billion worth of toxic CHMC mortgages. So if they pay the mortgage to the bank, then they own your property. And, you know, likely they'll give you $3,000 a month in beer money called the universal income. And then you give most of that back in rent or some such program through the bank system.
So on the surface, debt forgiveness sounds pretty good. But here's what happens in exchange for your debt forgiveness. In exchange for acceptance of this total debt forgiveness, The individual would forfeit ownership of any and all property and assets forever. The individual would also have to agree to partake in the COVID-19 and COVID-21 vaccination schedule, which would provide the individual with unrestricted travel and unrestricted living, even under a full lockdown, through the use of photo identification referred to as Canada's Health Pass.
So haven't you been promised this already? Everything goes back to normal once the vaccine arrives, and now they tell you the vaccine doesn't protect you from future infection, nor does it give you immunity. So why would they lift the lockdowns in that environment?
And remember, own nothing and you'll be happy?
Oh yeah, the the World Economic Forum last October has this bright, good-looking 22-year-old boy who's smiling. I don't know why, maybe he's having a bowel movement, but he's smiling. And the caption says, "You'll own nothing, but you'll be happy." So this is what the problem with universal income. Mm-hmm. Universal income is a form of welfare in the control of the government. And once you get on it and they say jump, you have to say how high. They're going to scrap the Canadian pension plan. Now, the CPP is not a government program, income program. It is a it's a contributory system administered and funded by the deductions taken off your paycheck if you work for somebody, and that have to be made by self-employed people. It's a fund that we paid into. It's not at the grace of the government. And so if I want to go to Greece after I retire, the government cannot say you're not getting your CPP because I paid into it. The government can say, well, this guaranteed income is an income at the behest of Parliament. You don't get this guaranteed income if you go to Greece. Mm-hmm. And furthermore, if you want the income, we want to jab you and poke you and, you know, make you be a dancing bear the whole time you get this.
So then committee members asked who would become the owner of the forfeited property and assets in that scenario, and what would happen to lenders or financial institutions. We were simply told that the World Debt Reset Program will handle all of the details. Several committee members also questioned what would happen to individuals if they refused to participate in the World Debt Reset Program or the health pass or the vaccination schedule. And the answer we got was very troubling. Essentially, we were told it was our duty to make sure we come up with a plan to ensure that would never happen. I read that and I was like, oh God, that means they just want people, they're just going to force people to do this thing. And then it goes on to say, we were told it was in the individual's best interest to participate. When several committee members pushed relentlessly to get an answer, we were told that those who refused would first live under the lockdown restrictions indefinitely, and that over a short period of time, as more Canadians transitioned into the debt forgiveness program, the ones who refused to participate would be deemed a public safety risk and would be relocated into isolation facilities. What does that sound like to you guys?
Well, concentration camp with vitamin C.
Once in those facilities, they would be given two options. The email goes on to say, like, this person was quite disturbed by what they saw. It was a heated discussion, and that their opinions were ignored. There was opposition, ignored. The government's been ignoring everyone this whole time anyway. But we know that they're listening to someone. And then that was the end of the email.
I'd like to say hello to my friend and ask him this. So Ezra, my friend, do you still think it's fake news? Do you remember that pointed video you put out saying how sad us sap Canadians are that we would believe this, and how, you know, maybe you should put out another one to apologize to Canadians.
Well, okay. Let's talk about why people think this was fake. Okay, I have a couple of points here. Yeah. There's no such record or evidence of an IMF-backed plan.
That's not true. The World Economic Forum, for those who can read and choose to read, has been on this for over a decade. Furthermore, I pleaded in July of 2020 vaccine passports. Why? It was an idea cooked up and published. In 2018, by the World Economic Forum, before we even heard the word COVID-19.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
Number two, there's no such thing as a steering committee. I think you said that earlier when we first got this email.
Yeah, so what?
There's no such thing as this committee that was mentioned here. Okay. Number three, do you want to say anything about that?
What I want to say about that, it was my view at the time as well, that this was made to look like a few indicia of fake news, so that the government, if there was a vicious backlash right away, the government said, look, we didn't put that out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. So let's make a fake committee.
Right.
Okay. Number three, the speed it went out, the virality of it, it went around too fast.
Well, to me, that indicates it's an institutional memo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? They have the wherewithal to make something go viral.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think those were all the biggest points of why people thought it was leaked. If there's any more reasons that I missed.
It was fake, right?
Yeah. Well, they thought it was fake. So, but I mean, like the fact that so many of what was laid out has come to fruition. It's just
on the timetable that it set out without fail. Everything has come to be. And they're not listening to science. They're not listening to the experts. They're just bulldozing through their agenda. And why? Because this agenda predates the COVID so-called pandemic. And if you read my statement of claim, I source where these statements are made by Gates, by the Gavi, by the World Economic Forum, by the Rockefeller Foundation report. They're there to read.
And just for a little bit of clarity, the World Debt Reset Program was put forth by the World Economic Forum, and they pitched the Great Reset. Coincidentally, the IMF, which is the International Monetary Fund, published its version of a global economic reset, which promotes the idea of an inclusive recovery from the pandemic. Is this a bailout? Is this all about UBI? Maybe.
Here's what it's about. It's about putting every single independent business possible out of business. It's about crashing the bricks and mortar of independent business. So, you know, when they limit purchases to curbside, independent businesses can't continue in business with that business model. And every lockdown sees the increase of more and more independent businesses collapse, to the point now that the Amazon and Uber are the distribution system for your food, will be for your food, all your needs, you know, your kids' clothing. Where are you getting kids' clothing these days? Where are you getting your underwear? You're getting it from these same criminal billionaire oligarchs and corporations.
Right. And I know everyone's like, well, what can we do? What should we do?
Well, if you're a store owner, open up. And if you're a customer, go shop at your local stores. There's no way that, in my personal view, as the executive director of the Constitutional Rights Center, that when a government blatantly ignores the law, blatantly ignores science, blatantly ignores rationality, blatantly ignores logic, and puts in fascistic, tyrannical orders that make no sense, there's no way that in that context we do not have the constitutional right to civilly disobey those laws. They're repugnant, they're immoral, they're illegal. And at that point, after a year, you say, I have a constitutional right to tell you to go pound sand on a wet beach.
See, you call it, what did you call it? Civil disobedience?
Right.
I like to call it collective non-compliance. If we all say no, same thing. We're not going to do it.
As an anarchist, I don't like the word collective.
Why?
Why? Because if everybody does it individually, the collective just emerges organically. I don't have to organize to do this.
Oh, just saying, everybody does it. We're saying the same thing, but in different ways, I think.
No, not at all.
A little bit.
They're talking about collective. They purport to do everything in the best interest of society.
But when I say collective, I mean all of us.
It doesn't have to be all of us. Just the ones that don't want to obey fascist goose-stepping laws. It doesn't have to be all of us.
But if it's all of us, then this stuff just, it goes away really fast.
If it's only 20% of us, it goes away fast. So forget that the collective.
No, that's not
do
true.
Do what you
because,
can do.
Because there is probably 20% of people that are doing non-compliance, and they're still moving ahead with this crazy agenda.
No, there isn't 20% of non-compliance. Are you dreaming? Where do you see 20% of non-compliance? 20% of non-compliance in Canada would be 8 million people not complying.
Okay, fine. That's too much.
Okay.
It's less than that.
It's marginal right now.
But so you're saying, so you just need a small percentage of people.
10 to 20%. But that's a lot. We're not there yet. We're not there yet. And we got to get there. You know, most revolutions had less than 12 people starting it. And the biggest revolution in the history of the planet was started by one person with 12 followers.
Yeah.
And Fidel Castro was one person with 12 followers until he hit the beach in his on the boat he brought to Mexico. And they had, from Mexico, they had intelligence. So half of his followers got wiped on the beach. And he went into the hills with six of them, including Che Guevara.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So the Russian Revolution was started by Lenin, Stalin, and Trotsky. Three guys.
So what are you saying?
Open up your bloody restaurant so I can have dinner. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, we're going to wrap this up. Thank you so much for watching. Super appreciate it. Well, if this is their timeline, we have another timeline that we're going to make our own. And it's going to be way better and more exciting. So if you want to help us make this cool new timeline, which is doesn't look like this, please. Join us. Let us know.
And I hope the police chiefs are sincere that they said we're not enforcing this because they understand their oath that they took to Her Majesty and to uphold the Constitution. And so if I'm wrong about that, I apologize. But, you know, I'd rather be wrong about that than right about my suspicions. Misimpression to anybody who's listening that they're going to succeed in this plan. My mother always used to say, if you want to make God laugh, make a big frigging plan. I'm not saying they're going to succeed, but I am saying this is what their plan is. Why? Because they've wrote it out. They've told us what their plan is.
Mm-hmm.
So their plan, if things get even more desperate, is to bring out the troops under the Emergencies Act, if they get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they comply with that, but we'll dedicate a video to the Emergencies Act very soon.
Yeah, we will.